heard on great radio stations all across America. It's The National Defense with Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry.
Hey out there, this is Jerry Newberry. You're listening to The National Defense. Well, as usual, it's getting to be a habit. Randy's not here again today. Seems he has a sore jaw, had some dental work. It must have been major dental work because it takes a lot to keep his jaw shut down, I'll tell you. So anyway, we're by ourselves today. Nate's in the booth. Got a lot of good things to talk about. But before we go any further, we're going to do like we do every week and dedicate this show to the men and women serving on active duty, the Guard and Reserves, to the millions of veterans out there who've done so much for this country, and of course to all their families. God bless you. We love you, and we're here for you. So like I said, we've got a lot of things to talk about today. We've got some good guests. We have Dan Parker, who is a Marine Iraqi vet, and he's attending college at KU in Lawrence, Kansas. And he belongs to a special group of collegiate veterans, and they formed an association at KU. And those associations are popping up all over the country. But we'll talk to Dan about that. He'll fill us in why they formed the organization, what's going on at KU. Also, we'll be speaking with Congressman Roy Blunt. He's the Republican whip in the House, and he's introduced a resolution that will hopefully enable our military members to vote in the upcoming election. We're going to talk about a couple of other things. Oh, yeah, by the way, if everything goes right, we're going to have a link with the Pentagon. They're going to link us with VFW National Commander George Lisicki, who's hopefully back in Kuwait. He's been in Iraq visiting with the troops, visiting with military leadership, and some of the civilian leadership. So George is going to give us the straight scoop from Iraq. Not going to be in his political crap or spin that you've been seeing on TV as of late. He'll let us know what's going on. And as you already know, George was recently in Europe, visited our troops at Landstuhl Hospital, so that's going to be interesting. Anyway, hey, listen, if you want us to do a show about any specific topic, anything of interest, you want to beef, you can do that. Of course, I'll just erase your email. I won't answer you back probably, but if you want to praise us, you'll get an answer. But contact us. We're looking for some new songs to do for the show. So send us an email. It's very easy. thenationaldefense@vfw.org. And also, we've got a great blog. We want you to visit our blog site. It's, the 3Ws.vfwnationaldefense.blogspot.com. I know that's long, but it's not that hard. www.vfwnationaldefense, all one word, .blogspot.com. Hey, we've got some great stuff on there. We're going to grow that blog, and we hope to hear from you. So, send us an email. Let us know what's going on. Let us know what kind of job we're doing, or, who you want us to get a hold of, what topics you want us to cover. Some good stuff. VA finally, I shouldn't say that. VA does do some good things, right? But they have a suicide hotline number, and it's went up about a year ago. And since then, they've received 22,000 calls. That's a lot of calls. Think about it. 22,000 callers. They think about 1,221 suicides have been averted because of this hotline. So if you know any veterans out there, if you're a veteran yourself and you're down, you're depressed, don't go there, okay? Things can't be that bad. Just remember that. Nobody's shooting at you anymore. Pick up the phone, dial 1-800-273-TALK. Let me give it to you again. 1-800-273-TALK. Suicide hotline, VA set it up. Listen, combat's not easy. Transitioning isn't easy. You know, it might not even be your combat experience. Maybe you lost your job, or, you know, you're facing a divorce, or, you know, it could be a lot of things. And you're feeling down. You don't think there's anywhere to turn. You don't think there's anything else you can do. But there's always something you can do. And one thing you can do, if you or a friend or a loved one's having problems, pick up the phone. Call the VA suicide hotline number at 1-800-273-TALK. We don't want to lose you. You're important to us. So the end of the road's coming. General Petraeus, his tour is just about up in Iraq. And, of course, General David Petraeus, who we've long stated very clearly that we consider him to be a genius. The Petraeus Doctrine has obviously made a dramatic change in Iraq, but it wasn't just General Petraeus. You know, we got to remember why our troops are there. Part of it, of course, was to fight Al-Qaeda and insurgents and all those damn creeps. But the other part of it is we can't win a war unless you have a political resolution. And one of the guys who has certainly played such an important role in a political resolution is Ambassador Ryan Crocker. Now, that's quite a team. That's a heavy team. Provided a 1-2 punch in Iraq, made things happen militarily, made things happen politically. And so it's going to be interesting when General Petraeus moves on to his next duty assignment as commander of U.S. Central Command, how his successor will relate with Ambassador Ryan Crocker. But, you know, now's a good time for us to thank General David Petraeus and also pass a word of thanks along to Ambassador Ryan Crocker, because when he leaves, it's going to leave a vacuum. Of course, General Petraeus, even though he leaves as commander of U.S. Central Command, he'll still have his fingers in things. So we'll see what happens. Moving on. Again, we have some great guests coming up. David Parker, Marine Iraq veteran, who's part of a Collegiate Veterans Association, and he's going to talk to us about that. Congressman Roy Blunt, who's introduced a important resolution, and hopefully our military people will have the opportunity to vote in this upcoming election. I mean, it's hard to believe, isn't it? Here we have men and women fighting for our right to vote, but yet things are so screwed up with the Pentagon and with other people, they don't get the chance to vote. They don't get a ballot, or the ballots, if they do fill out a ballot, it gets stuck in a mailbag and some clown sticks it in a corner somewhere, so their vote doesn't count. And, you know, that doesn't cut it. So Congressman Roy Blunt's going to be talking to us about that. All right, coming up next, Dan Parker from KU, Lawrence, Kansas. We'll be right back. I'm Jerry Newberry. You're listening to National Defense.
The only truth you'll hear on the radio, the National Defense.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Veterans of Foreign Wars believes in active allegiance to flag and country, through legislative activism and service to our military forces, veterans, their families, and communities. Freedom starts at home. Pledge your allegiance again. If you're a veteran and served overseas, you may be eligible to become a member of the nation's elite veterans organization, the Veterans of Foreign Wars.
You've served your country, now you can help your country serve others. Call 1-888-JOIN-VFW. That's 1-888-JOIN-VFW.
Big Brothers Big Sisters presents 100 Years of Helping Kids.
Today, Kyle and his big brother Justin,
hello,
hi,
are here to share some stuff we've learned.
With kids, it's not always what you say, but how you say it.
Hey Kyle, you want to go to a foreign film festival?
Nah, that's boring.
Okay.
Hey Kyle, you want to go to a foreign film festival?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
From time to time, a kid may double dare you.
Wow, that looks heavy. Bet you can't lift it.
Are you serious?
I double dare you.
Okay.
See? I told you. Uh-oh.
Moments like these happen every day.
Making a big difference in the life of a child. To find out the many ways you can help support kids in your community, call 1-888-412-BIGS or go to BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
That's BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
This message brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
Until next time.
Hey, I'm Jerry Newberry. You're listening to the National Defense. We're back. Hey, you know, in the past year or so, we've talked a couple of times about returning veterans who are going back to school, the type of receptions they're getting, the type of services available to them on campus. And of course, with the recent passage of the new GI Bill for the 21st century, that, you know, we can really anticipate a lot more veterans going back to school. So we thought we'd contact a veteran who's on campus and, in fact, is belongs to a collegiate veterans association at KU in Kansas. His name's Dan Parker. How are you, Dan?
Pretty good. How are you, Jared?
Good. Hey, first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself, when you served, who you served with.
Well, I joined the Marines in 2000. I went active and served in the Marine Corps until June 2005. I served overseas in Iraq in 2003 with the 26th Marine Expeditionary Unit, and again in 2004 with HMLA 167. And then in between, I was in Liberia. Again with the 26th new.
Oh, wow. Well, hey, first of all, welcome home and thanks for your service. You're also a VFW member post 852 in Lawrence?
That's correct. I'm a lifetime member. Yeah.
Well, good. So how long have you been going to KU?
This, I've been at KU now for 3 years, starting in fall 2005.
And when you returned, when you first went back to school, what was it like? I mean, what kind of reception did you get as a Iraqi veteran?
Most students are pretty respectful, but distant. You know, they just don't know how to relate.
Sure.
Because not only, you know, all my classmates were 18 or 19 years old and I was 23. So, you know, 5 years isn't that great of a difference later in life, but at those ages, that's a pretty huge gulf to overcome. So we had that, and then also when they would find out I was an Iraq war veteran, they just didn't know how to relate or, you know, how to interact with me. So it made things a little awkward in some instances, but, you know, generally pretty respectful.
Yeah, and, you know, you had a few years on them, so we're talking about maturity level, and, of course, serving in the Marine Corps in a combat zone, that adds to the maturity level, right?
I think so, yeah. I grew up a lot and had a lot of experiences that I think I matured a lot from in the Marine Corps.
Yeah. Hey, so first of all, when you enrolled at KU, were there any services available dedicated to just veterans on campus?
The only service at KU at the time that was dedicated to veterans on campus was the VA certifying official. And they're not an actual Veterans Administration employee. All they do is certify that you're enrolled in the university so you can receive your VA education benefits. And that was it at the time.
Okay. So the Collegiate Veterans Association, why was that formed? I know all over the country, these types of associations are being formed on campus. What's the purpose?
Right. Collegiate Veterans Association at KU, we started in the summer of 2006, and there were several of us that got together, actually all Marine Corps veterans, just by coincidence. And we'd just gotten together, and we were all members of Post 852 in Lawrence, and we're hanging out and just talked about some of the inadequacies in the system, not only with the VA, but also at the university and the local level. And, you know, decided that we should form a student organization for veterans that would provide community, but also a base for advocacy and action on campus. And so that was kind of the purpose behind it. And it was everything from, you know, interacting with university bureaucracy, from paying tuition, because they wanted everything in a lump sum at the beginning of the semester before you'd even started receiving your monthly payments, to, you know, just any office on campus. Like, I went to a financial aid office one time to look for scholarships or any kind of grants or anything like that, and they didn't have anything. They handed me a list of scholarships for the children of veterans, but they didn't have any information on scholarships for actual veterans. So it was incidents like that that were occurring pretty much all the time, and that nobody on campus knew how to deal with or to interact with veterans. And that was kind of why we got started.
So you formed the organization to address some inadequacies. So how's that panned out for you? I mean, has the university responded? Are the services that were lacking before available now?
Yeah, we've made a lot of great strides on campus. Of course, the Veterans Certifying Office, the Veterans Services Office is what they are officially called at KU. They've been a great help because, excuse me, they know a lot of the people that we need to talk to on campus. So we can go to them and say, hey, we need to change this in this department. And instead of, you know, going to that office and they say, oh, well, you need to talk to this person, and they send us to somebody else, and then eventually sends us back to the original person we talked to, the Veterans Services Office can tell us directly who we need to talk to, and often schedule the meeting for us and everything. And so we've managed to get a lot of things done. We have new tuition plans in place, which, you know, with the new GI Bill coming online next year, won't be such a big deal anymore, but that allow veterans to break their tuition payments up over the course of the semester after they start receiving their VA benefits, and to pay into December. To pay off the tuition over the course of the semester. Same thing for books. If you buy them at the KU bookstore, you can pay for them over the course of the semester, interest-free, of course. And also we have new Easy Exit, Easy Entry program for veterans and reserve and guard members that are being activated to be sent overseas for deployment. Because previously the university was just dropping them at the end of the semester and considering them to be dropouts.
So so they'd really get screwed, wouldn't they?
Exactly. So yeah, exactly. When they returned, they were just considered dropout students, and they had to reapply for admission and all of that. But this way, they currently get not only do they not get dropped, they just get placed in an inactive students folder, and then when they return, they get priority re-enrollment. So.
Well, it sounds great. It sounds like you've really done some great work, and. You know, not only for you and your fellow students, but for the many, many students that are going to be enrolling at KU for years to come. How do you feel about the new GI Bill?
Actually, I've had some involvement with the new GI Bill. I was out in D.C. in June for the Student Veterans of America conference, doing a little lobbying on behalf of that. Piece of legislation. And I think the new GI Bill is a pretty wonderful program. I look at it as what the GI Bill should have been all along.
Yeah, yeah.
Because when it became the Montgomery GI Bill and became a fund that veterans pay into,
right.
it was only adjust for the cost of living index, you know, of course, and it kind of failed to do what it was supposed to do and pay for college, and fell far behind the inflation of education, which is, you know, much greater than just the normal inflation.
Right. Well, it took VFW about 10 years to help get that thing passed, but yeah, we're glad what we did. Hey, Dan, we got to wrap it up. Thanks for all you're doing. Thanks for your service. And thanks for all you're doing for, you know, like I said, returning veterans on campus. We appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's my pleasure.
All right. I'm Jerry Newberry. You're listening to the National Defense.
We're standing guard with the truth. The National Defense.
What do you want from the Wizard of Oz?
Just messing with you. But seriously, people don't want to stand in front of my big, awesome wizard head and hear me going, duh. They want answers. That's why I go to USA.gov, the official source for government info. It gives me the smarts to go with the show. Say someone asks for a brain. I go to USA.gov, type in student loans, and 4 years later, they're chock full of knowledge. Is the Wicked Witch terrorizing your neighborhood? Well, move. Then search USA.gov for change of address form so your friends can find you and the witch can't. How about if you're stuck here from Kansas and want to go home? Well, check out USA.gov for the latest travel restrictions and passport applications. I even use it for myself. Bought my sweet ride at a government auction I found on USA.gov. I call it the Wizmobile. Balloons are for squares.
For federal and state government information, there's no place like USA.gov.
Big Brothers Big Sisters presents 100 Years of Helping Kids.
With us today are Sally and her big sister Marcy.
Hi.
Hello. To share some stuff we've learned.
Kids and sugar, a combustible mix.
Hey Marcy, let's go to the zoo.
Maybe the park.
We could fly a kite.
I want a hot dog.
No.
Ice cream.
Is that a horse?
I love horses.
Hey, let's dance.
Maybe that's enough chocolate.
And sing.
La la la. La 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 la.
It's also not uncommon for a kid to demonstrate special powers.
Did you know I can run through walls?
No.
Watch this.
Oh, Sally.
Don't worry. I also have amazing healing powers.
Moments like these happen every day.
Making a big difference in the life of a child. To find out the many ways you can help support kids in your community, call 1-888-412-BIGS or go to bigbrothersbigsisters.org.
That's bigbrothersbigsisters.org.
This message brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
That's all for now.
Jerry Newberry, you're listening to the VFW's National Defense. And you know, it's that time again. National elections are coming up, and it's so important to VFW. We do everything we can to educate our members and encourage veterans to vote. You know, we all fought for that right. But you know, something's been going on for a very, very long time. And quite frankly, it's scandalous. There's no reason for this to be happening. The men and women serving in our armed forces today, especially those who are deployed, are having difficulty voting, making their vote count. And, you know, it's reprehensible. Something needs to be done about it. And with us today is Representative Roy Blunt. He's the House Republican whip, who in fact is trying to do something about this. How are you, Congressman?
Well, Jerry, I'm good. It's good to talk to you today. Thanks again for all you do for those who've served and those who are serving, and I'm glad to be with you on this important topic.
Well, okay. Now, what is going on with this, Congressman? I mean, it seems every election we hear the same thing, that the absentee military voting just doesn't happen. There's a dismal return on it, or there's difficulty in our military people obtaining ballots. What's going on?
Well, Jerry, you know, in the mid-80s, when I was Secretary of State of Missouri, the chief election official for our state, the Defense Department was given a new responsibility, both for people in the military, their dependents, and overseas voters, and that was to make this process work better for them. I frankly think that the Defense Department took this real seriously when they were first given this mission, and somehow there's been some slippage in their sense of this responsibility over the years. The resolution I've introduced just says, do your job. Get the information out there that military voters need, that their dependents need, about the special opportunities they have as because of their military service, how they take advantage of those opportunities to participate, and then see that you get those ballots back in time. Last time, of the 6 million people that the Defense Department is supposed to be working with in this area of military and overseas voting, only less than 20% of them voted, and of the 20% that did vote, about a million of them did vote, 50,000 of those votes weren't counted because they were mishandled in some way, delivered late to the places where ballots have to be counted. And, of course, most of that mail, or certainly the military mail, goes through the APO mail system, and it just didn't get there. It's a shame, this is a resolution that just tells the Defense Department and the Pentagon to do its job to ensure that everyone serving our country knows the special opportunities that they have while they're ensuring this important right to vote for the rest of us.
All right. Now, you say DOD took over responsibility for this in the mid-1980s.
Yes.
All right. DOD is a big department, a lot of bureaucrats there, no doubt. But, I mean, that's an awfully long time to not solve a problem, especially an important problem like this. I can only imagine, you know, I've been embedded with troops in Iraq and Afghanistan, and we've talked about elections and politics and a lot of things. But to be serving in a combat zone, to be putting yourself out there, to have your family back home also sacrificing, I mean, that's got to be a horrible feeling to know that, hey, here I am fighting to preserve our rights, our values, and one of our, you know, one of the most valued things we have as Americans is the right to vote in a free election. And, you know, geez, here I am far away from home and I can't vote or my vote's not going to count.
Well, I think that's absolutely right. And, you know, I'm since I've got this resolution challenging them to do the job, I'm not going to defend the problems they may have in doing it. I do think that initially a new responsibility, I remember I was the Secretary of State at the time, any meeting I was at that was involving the voting rights nationally almost always included representatives from the DOD who were trying to figure out how to do this new job better. I think there's just been some slippage over the years. Every organization feels its own stress. This is one where I think the Department of Defense is indefensible in not pushing it to the forefront. For instance, by I think mid-January of election year, they were to notify everyone in the military and their dependents of the special rights they have to cast a federal absentee ballot, to be able to send a ballot in. And how they would do that, and that notification never went out to most of the people that it should be going out to. And so this resolution says, do your job, do it now. Let's see that our men and women in the service and their families and dependents have the right to cast the very ballots that are secured for us by their service.
All right. My question is this. This problem has been going on for so long, and I understand about 8 years ago, Undersecretary of Defense David Chu was pretty much put in charge of overseeing this. Why hasn't he been slapped around, and why hasn't Congress, I mean, here you are introducing a resolution. Why hasn't Congress moved on this? I mean, what kind of reception is your resolution receiving?
I think Chile would be the answer to that. A Chile reception. Senator John Cornyn from Texas has a similar resolution in the Senate. Kevin McCarthy has a bill that would actually be even more penalizing of the military if they didn't do it, but it would take so much longer to get there. That's why I thought the resolution would do exactly what it's doing, which is get guys like you talking about this issue Bob Novak in his national column a week ago was talking about this issue. I've done a number of radio and even some television conversations on this. I hope we're building the fire under the Pentagon to do what they need to be doing and to do it now so that people get a chance to participate. And when they've cast those ballots, also handle them in a way that they get counted. Don't toss them in a mail sack somewhere that may or may not be delivered before the November election day. Create the kind of priority that the voting process deserves, and particularly deserves for the men and women who are ensuring that we continue to have it.
Well, thanks for introducing this resolution. And listen, we're going to do everything we can to let our listeners know, because there's only, what, about 89 days, 88 days left?
Well, we're down to about, I think, about 90 days before the election. And, of course, less than that, if you're going to get a ballot to somebody in the military, get it marked and get it back and get it counted. This process, this clock is now beginning to tick. We don't know the presidential candidates yet. There's still some time, you know, another month before the two conventions, I guess 6 weeks before both the conventions are over and those names are certified. But people need to know their rights of how to request a ballot, how to get a ballot. If they don't qualify to get a ballot for their entire state, their entire county, their entire local issues, at the very least, they all qualify for a federal top-of-the-ticket ballot. And at the end of the day, there are even some ways you can do that without getting the ballot itself. But the piece of paper you mark has to be back to the election authority on time, and because of that, it has to be handled on time by those in the military. My son Matt, who's the governor of Missouri now, was the voting officer on his ship when he was on his last ship, when he was the navigator on a destroyer when he was still in the full-time Navy. I'm sure it's a responsibility he took seriously, and many of our voting officers do, and frankly, some of them probably aren't encouraged to make this a top-line responsibility, and hopefully the Pentagon will begin the process of doing that and ensure that it happens between now and Election Day. 90 days is plenty of time to do what needs to be done here if this is a responsibility that's taken seriously.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We've been speaking with Congressman Roy Blunt. He's trying to do something about the absentee ballot problem our military has. Hey, Congressman, thanks for being with us. We appreciate it, and good luck with that resolution.
Thank you, Jerry. Great to talk to you.
All right, thanks.
All right. You know, that was interesting speaking to Representative Blunt. It is a shame that our military doesn't have the opportunity, that they've been overlooked when it comes to voting. I mean, that just doesn't make sense to me. And it is a tragedy, and it's a travesty. You know, the Pentagon's had 20 years to get it together, over 20 years, and they haven't done it. And Congress, quite frankly, hasn't done a damn thing either. I mean, let's get off the dime. Let's make sure they get the vote. And speaking of voting, everyone, listen, whether you think your vote counts or not, it does. Your vote does matter. And I know you're not going to agree with all the positions of the candidates. That doesn't matter. You know, there are a lot of important things going on in this world, and hopefully you're concerned enough to at least get involved to that degree. And that's a very small degree of involvement, taking advantage of the right that you have as an American citizen, the right that is given to you because of the sacrifice of so many others. That's what we fought for, and that's what a lot of people died for. So, hey, take advantage of it, and don't listen to all the campaign ads. Take some time, do some research, and hopefully you're interested in more than one issue. Take the time to vote. Thanks for being with us. I'm Jerry Newberry. You're listening to The National Defense.
This is The National Defense.
The VFW is looking for a few more heroes. The largest combat veterans organization in America wants to get you involved and keep you active. With nearly 2 million members and 9,000 posts around the country, the VFW is doing the tough job of supporting our troops. You can be a part of all the excellent programs that keep the fires burning on the front lines. Programs such as Operation Uplink, with phone cards for active duty and hospitalized veterans, Adopt a Unit, which provides assistance for nearly 1,000 military units, and care package efforts for the troops serving in Iraq and Afghanistan. Only someone who's been there can understand what it means to be remembered. The VFW has been the heart and soul of the military for over 100 years. Isn't it time you stake your claim as a veteran? Call the VFW Membership Department at 1-888-JOIN-VFW or log on to VFW.org for more details. You've served your country. Now you can help your country serve others. Call 1-888-JOIN-VFW. That's 1-888-JOIN-VFW.
In a military warehouse south of Washington, D.C., a USO stuffing party is in full swing. By the end of the day, volunteers will have stuffed over 10,000 USO care packages, packed them in boxes, loaded them on trucks, and sent them on their way to our soldiers in Iraq, Afghanistan, and military bases around the world. They'll stuff them full of things that most of us take for granted, but that our troops don't often have. Things like toiletries, playing cards, candy, books, little things. Little things that carry an enormous message to our troops. Little things like, thank you. Like, we'll never forget you. Like, we're behind you 100%. Like, we love and cherish each and every one of you. Little things. We're all about the little things. We're the USO. So are you. For more information and to find out how you can help, visit us at USO.org. The USO. Until everyone comes home.
I'm Jerry Newberry. You're listening to the National Defense. And, you know, like we do every week, we try and bring you the truth. And whenever we can, you know, we've done a lot of times in the past with a lot of different people. We try and bring you news directly from theater. And we're lucky enough to have someone in theater who's visited Iraq, our national commander, George Lisicki. How are you, George?
I'm good, Joe. How you doing?
Good. We're speaking to you. You're back in Kuwait now, right?
Yeah, we just got in this morning, Jerry.
Yeah, you had a little bit of a hairy time yesterday, did you?
Yes, we did. On our way out, the plane blew a tire, so we had a little bumpy ride for a while and spent the next night in Iraq.
Yeah, I hate when that happens. Well, excuse me. So you've been to Iraq, and I know you met with a lot of military officials. Can you give us a brief rundown how your trip went, who you met with?
Joey, the trip went great. You know, we got a lot of information out here on the progress, what's going on in Iraq, what the future is there, and especially the troops morale and everything. And it's been a great experience being here. Unfortunately, we didn't get a chance to talk to General Petraeus because of a schedule problem, but we did meet as many of the leaders over there and get information on the breakdown of what's going on in Iraq. And things are looking good. It's really, really progressing great here.
Yeah, I think it's significant, the timing of your visit, because, of course, as we all know, Senator McCain has been to Iraq numerous times and returned not too long ago. And about a week or so, 2 weeks, I don't remember now, Senator Obama visited Iraq. So I think it's great timing that you went over there because, you know, we get the spin on the news on the TV. But you being there and, you know, especially as national commander of the VFW, we know we're not getting any spin on this.
Yeah, we're not. And that's why it's so important that we get over here to have the opportunity to speak to the troops themselves, you know, not just to talk the talk back home and say, you know, we're supporting you and we're behind you, but to actually come out here and talk to the troops face-to-face and let them know that we're all behind them back home and we're willing to come out here and talk to them, and that meant a lot to them.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you that, George. How'd they feel about being introduced to the National Commander VFW? How'd they feel about the fact that, you know, you were willing to lose the suit, lose the tie, put on Kevlar and go over there and visit with them.
Well, they were thrilled, Jerry. You know, we went around and we didn't see as many troops as we wanted to due to the tight schedule. But the ones that we talked to some here in Kuwait and over at Camp Victory over in Iraq. We went over to Taji, talked to the troops over there. And we did talk to some of the troops in Baghdad during our briefing yesterday. And they were just thrilled to death that our party went over there and talked to them. You know, their morale is so high now, and the progress that they're making, and they can see a light coming up at the end of the tunnel. And they're so proud of what they're doing. They're proud of their mission. And it was just great talking to them. And it's just a great bunch of warriors that we have defending our freedom today.
Well, you know, that kind of, what you're saying kind of flies in the face of what we oftentimes hear back here. You're talking about their high morale and the feeling of pride they have in what they're doing. I don't have to tell you that's oftentimes not reflected in the newspapers or on TV. But the fact is, they do have high morale because they believe in what they're doing. And like you said, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. Iraqi forces are taking over more and more of the ops. They have about 192 combat battalions in the fight. And I understand there's a big offensive going on in Diyala province, and that's being pretty much ramrodded or led by Iraqi troops, right?
Yeah, Jerry, the Iraqis are really taking over big time here. A lot of the briefings we got yesterday are still classified, so I can't tell you specifics on what's going on because they asked us not to, but they just want to keep us informed. But they're really stepping up. We're turning over a lot of our equipment. I believe that I'm going to turn over 3,500 Humvees over to the Iraqis, you know, so they can take these back home, patrol their cities, you know, and security. And talking to the Iraqis, they feel that the provinces are safe. People are coming out of their homes again. They're walking the streets. The marketplaces are booming because they feel safe now that the Iraqis are stepping up. And a big thing that the Iraqis are doing now is they see a strange face in their towns. They turn them in, you know, to fight them. They don't belong there. They're the enemy. And this is a step in the right direction for it because they're all starting to step up and they're all starting to protect their own provinces.
Yeah, they they're tired of people killing their friends and their neighbors and their loved ones. And the violence level, as I understand it, is way down from what it has been in several years, right?
Jerry, it's the lowest since 2004. And in fact, the president announced that he's going to be cutting the 15-month tours down to 12-month tours. And he's going to be meeting with General Petraeus and see if there's going to be any future troop reductions. So that's looking good. And this is all because of the step up of the Iraqi army. It's starting to take over a lot of controls, starting to take over a lot of the missions. And like I said, we're giving them equipment and they're willing to take it. In fact, they're standing in line waiting for the equipment so they can go out and patrol their own towns. And they're looking forward to it. And I think they're not there yet, according to our leadership. They're not there yet, but they're way ahead of where they were just a few years ago in taking over this fight for their own country.
Yeah, that's for sure. And, as an organization, we've maintained a certain stance for a number of years. I know as national commander, you certainly dug your heels in, especially when it came to the surge.
Yeah, the surge was, we had to give that a try. They wanted to change that strategy, and boy, as the surge worked, you know, everything that was expressed to us and what we supported, you know, we had to support the surge. It was a change being made, and we supported that. And the surge has really worked, and you can see it. You can see the numbers, the violence being down for the lowest since 2004. And these troops are starting to come back home now. So it's really working full time now.
You know, we know from your experiences in Vietnam, as do I, that, you know, you can't win a war by a body count alone. So, you know, the main reason we've remained in Iraq for as long as we have was to give the government a chance to get it together, to start working. Did you have opportunity to speak with any government officials or get any insight as to how the Iraqi government is functioning?
Yeah, we talked to one of those officials today at the airport before we left Iraq. And the two-star general was there with us, and he was telling us how thrilled we are and what a great job that the U.S. government has done and our forces have done in educating them on what to do, how to fight the war, how to protect their own country. And they're looking forward to their upcoming elections, which might be delayed, but they have to do it right. They want to do the right thing. And as you know, the last election, it was all done by UN forces and our forces protecting the polls as they voted. The Iraqis are doing this themselves for this upcoming election, which already shows you the progress that they're protecting their own voting rights for their people. And that's a big deal for us because, you know, this is something that we had to do just a few years ago during their elections.
Right. And that is a significant step, more than just significant. It's a major, major step forward. I mean, like you said, they want to take control of their own destiny and hold their own elections. And certainly we relate to that because that's what we fought for over 200 years in this country so we could vote. George, I just want to say thank you for the opportunity to talk to you. And I know it had to mean a lot to our troops to have the VFW National Commander out there. And by the way, they talk about the new GI Bill at all?
Oh, yeah, they were talking about it. And I indicated to them that they get on our website, vfw.org, and we have information on there. We got people back home willing to explain everything to them. But they are thrilled to death about the GI Bill. So it was a big topic over here. And, you know, that's something that we're very proud of in the VFW because we've been working on this for over 10 years to get that new GI Bill for the 21st century. So our troops are thrilled to death about it, Jerry. They certainly are.
Yeah, that's a great thing. So you're back in Kuwait. You're safe and sound. And I know the temperature is about 72 degrees there, right?
No, Jerry, I don't think it's been 72 here in a long time. It was roughly between 117 and 120 today with some hot winds blowing.
Yeah, Kuwait is a harsh place. Hey, George, we'll see you in a couple of weeks at National Convention in Orlando. And thanks again for taking the time out.
Jerry, thank you so much. And give our best to everybody back home there. And I can't say how proud and thrilled I am to be here to have the opportunity to represent our great organization over here in Kuwait and Iraq. And it was a thrill of a lifetime for me just to be with our heroes over here in Iraq and Kuwait.
Yep, there couldn't be any one better than to do that. Thanks again, George.
Thank you, Jerry.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
That was George Lusicki, National Commander of the VFW, live in Kuwait. And he did have quite an adventure when the tire blew out on takeoff, I might add. But it's a great thing he was able to get to Iraq, talk to the troops, and again, give us an opportunity to present the truth to you so you don't have to listen to all that nonsense on with the mainstream media. So thanks for being with us. I'm Jerry Newberry. This is the National Defense.
I never thought that this is where I'd settle down. I thought I'd die an old man back in my hometown. They gave me this plot of land, me and some other men, for a job well done. There's a big white house, sits on a hill just up the road. The man inside, he cried the day they brought me home. They folded up a flag and told my mom and dad, we're proud of your son. And I'm proud to be on this peaceful piece of property. I'm on sacred ground and I'm in the best company. I'm thankful for those, thankful for the things I've done. I can rest in peace, I'm one of the chosen ones. I made it to Arlington. I remember Daddy brought me here when I was 8. We searched all day to find out where my granddad lay. And when we finally found that cross, He said, son, this is what it costs to keep us free. Now here I am, a thousand stones away from him. He recognized me on the first day I came in, and it gave me a chill when he clicked his heels and saluted me. And I'm proud to be on this peaceful piece of property. I'm on sacred ground and I'm in the best of company. And I'm thankful for the things I've done. I can rest in peace, I'm one of the chosen ones. I made it to Arlington. And every time I hear 21 guns, I know they brought another hero home to us. Thankful for the things we've done. And we can rest in peace, 'cause we are the chosen ones. We made it to Arlington. Yeah, dust to dust, don't cry for us.
Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Veterans of Foreign Wars believes in active allegiance to flag and country. Through legislative activism and service to our military forces, veterans, their families, and communities, freedom starts at home. Pledge your allegiance again. If you're a veteran and served overseas, you may be eligible to become a member of the nation's elite veterans organization, the Veterans of Foreign Wars.
You've served your country, now you can help your country serve others. Call 1-888-JOIN-VFW. That's 1-888-JOIN-VFW.
Big Brothers Big Sisters presents 100 Years of Helping Kids.
Today, Kyle and his big brother Justin,
hello,
hi,
are here to share some stuff we've learned.
With kids, it's not always what you say, but how you say it.
Hey, Kyle, you want to go to a foreign film festival?
Nah, that's boring.
Okay.
Hey, Kyle, you want to go to a foreign film festival?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
From time to time, a kid may double dare you.
Wow, that looks heavy. Bet you can't lift it.
Are you serious?
I double dare you.
Okay.
See? I told you. Uh-oh.
Moments like these happen every day.
Making a big difference in the life of a child. To find out the many ways you can help support kids in your community, call 1-888-412-BIGS or go to bigbrothersbigsisters.org.
That's bigbrothersbigsisters.org.
This message brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
Until next time.
By the end of the day at this USO stuffing party, volunteers will have sent over 10,000 USO care packages on their way to our troops around the world. Full of little things that make all the difference and carry an enormous message to our troops. Little things. We're all about the little things. We're the USO. So are you. The USO, until everyone comes home. Visit us at uso.org.